here. It's not his church. Yeah. All right. Proverbs chapter 29. It is good to be here with you this morning, and I pray that you ask that you would pray for me as I preach, as I seek the Lord's will in my life. Proverbs chapter 29. I'm going to be starting in verse 18. Then, Lord willing, I'd ask that you turn with me to Acts chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, the Bible says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Now, if you will, turn to the book of Acts and chapter 18. Acts and chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, verses 8 through 11. And the Bible says, "And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by vision, Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city." And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. This morning, Lord willing, my thought for the next few minutes is simply going to be, where there is no vision, the people perish. Let us pray. Our Father God in heaven, we thank you for this day. And Father, as we stand before this people this morning, God, I pray that, God, you would undergird me. Father, I pray that you would endue me with power from on high. God, I pray for the people here. God, I pray that our minds would be focused upon you this morning. God, I pray that you would give us a vision of Jesus Christ, high and lifted up. Father, give us a desire to worship you this morning. God, I pray that if there be one here this morning that's lost, then God, I pray that you would get a hold of them. Father, that you convict them of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. Father, I pray for those that are here that, Father, they're saved, but they're out of your will. God, I pray that you get a hold of them. Father, draw them back into your will, Father. Get them back in a place of service and a place where they'll bring honor and glory to you and be a great testimony to thy grace. And Father, I pray for those of us that are just unconcerned. Father, that are discouraged. Father, maybe we've gotten our focus on the wrong things. God, I pray that you give us a vision again. Father, give us a vision for souls. Give us a vision for the uplifting of your church. But God, just give us a vision from you. And God, help us to have a zeal and a compassion for the souls of men. God, I ask that you'd forgive me where I fail you. And Father, I pray that you'd hide me behind you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we read a while ago in the book of Proverbs, chapter 29 and verse 18, the Bible says there, where there is no vision, the people perish. Then, of course, we read over here in Acts chapter 18, verses 8 through 11, and we see the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul is in this area here. As he's in Corinth, he gets a vision. And friends, I want you to understand that this vision that he got was not a vision for the things of the world. He didn't get a vision for the things that was pleasing to him. But what he got a vision of was a vision from God. He got a vision for the souls of men. He got a vision for the town and the area in which he was in. And friends, I believe this as the Lord's churches, as the Lord's pastors today, we need a vision for the field where God has placed us. We need visions wherever we be, whether you be in Hyco, West Virginia, whether you be in Evansville, Indiana, whether you be in Wauseon, Ohio, or Clarksville, Tennessee, or wherever. The Lord's churches and the Lord's people need a vision from on high. We need a vision from God. And friends, what I'm afraid is we've got today is we've got a vision of everything else, but a vision or accept a vision of the things that matter. You go to your average quote-unquote Baptist church today and you'll see people with visions of basketball teams, of volleyball teams. You'll have visions of this drama or this or that drama, or you'll have this thing going on or that thing going on. We've gotten a vision for everything except for the right thing. And friends, the Bible says that where there is no vision, the people perish. And friends, if we don't have a vision of the things that matter, then guess what? Our churches are going to die. And I want you to understand this as well. God sustains our churches. We realize that, but we also need to realize this, that our churches, and we have a responsibility as church members and as pastors of these churches to do our known duty. Amen, brother. And friends, one of the things I'm afraid of we've done in our kind of Baptist churches today is that we have forgotten a vision. We're so scared of someone calling us an Arminian, we're afraid to hand out a tract or to talk to someone about the Lord. We've gotten to a place anymore where we're afraid that someone is going to accuse us of not being doctrinally sound. We're afraid to plead with people about their souls. Friends, we need a vision. We need to have a vision for the souls of men. We need to get our minds off worldly things. You know, in Hyco, West Virginia, in that general area there, you have all kinds of stuff going on. You've got a local high school there that people worship the sports programs. And friends, they get worked up and they get all caught up in the Midland Trail football or basketball team, or they get caught up in the Marshall University or West Virginia University Mountaineers football and basketball team, that they forget about the things that really matter. We forget about the things that matter eternally. What does a basketball game mean in the grand scheme of things? What does our children's education, secular-wise, mean in the long run? You know, we've gotten so focused on everything else. We've gotten so focused on telling young people, make something of yourself. Go to school. Forget about church. And that's basically what we've told them. We say, you need to go somewhere to a good school to get a good education where you miss church on Wednesday night. You're able to show up on Sunday morning, but you got to drive away on Sunday night to get back. And we've gotten so complacent about the things of God that we've lost our vision. We wonder why our churches are devoid of young people. We wonder how come say, well, you know what? We used to have young people here all the time. What's happened? It's because the parents have lost a vision. It's because pastors and churches have lost a vision. We look around and we say, well, you know what? I can remember a time whenever there would be young men being encouraged to study the Bible or go to a good Bible school somewhere. Those are few and far between now, I know it. But they'd be encouraged to go for a year or two and learn the Word of God. And they'd be trained, maybe not to be pastors, but they'd be trained to come up in that church and to serve. Where are they at now? Friends, it's because we've lost a vision. And friends, where there is no vision, the people perish. And I want you to understand this today. Where there is no vision in the local church, that church is going to perish. It's going to die. So friends, I want to encourage you this morning. Let's get on our faces before God again. Let's get in the Word of God. And let's cry out and say, God, give us a vision. Amen, brother. Show us what You would have us to do. Amen. Friends, we see Paul here. And Paul in our text, and Acts chapter 18, and we'll read again verses 8 through 11. He says, "And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians believed, and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, 'Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. And no man shall sit on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city.' And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them." Friends, I believe Paul understood a great truth. A truth that we need to understand as well. He understood the same truth that Jonah came to in the belly of the fish. That salvation is of the Lord. And friends, just as Jonah, just as Paul understood that no man will be saved outside of God doing a work of grace in their heart, we need to understand that too. And friends, I believe for the most part we do understand that. We understand that before anyone could be saved, that God has to do a work of grace in their heart. He has to mold their heart. He has to convict them of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And He has to change them and grant to them repentance and faith. We realize that. Just as Paul did. But friends, I'm afraid where we've gotten to a place in our churches is we've gotten to a place where we start using that great truth as an excuse not to evangelize. We're using it as an excuse not to tell people about Jesus Christ. And friends, for the most part, and for all practical purposes, and friends, I include myself in this, is we've turned into hard shells. We've gotten to a place where we get up and say, yes, we must carry out the commission. Yes, we must do this. We must do that. But for all practical intents and purposes, and what we practice and what we do, we've become hard shell. And you know why? Because we don't have a vision like we ought to. Friends, this morning, just for a few minutes, I want you just to get a vision of what God would have us to do as His churches. Just for a moment, as we sit here, as we ponder this word, I would ask you to pray to God Almighty right now and say, "Lord, give me a vision for what you would have me to do." And friends, I promise you this. You pray that, God will give it to you. But you better be prepared, because you never know what it could be. But friends, as we look here, I want us to consider just a few things about this vision. Now, as we have this vision, what should our vision be of? Should it be, again, of worldly things? I think we all know the answer to that. Absolutely not. Our vision should be of things that bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. And the only way that's ever going to happen is to get in the Word of God and see what the Word of God teaches about these things. So what are some of the things that we need a vision for? First of all, I believe we need a vision for the souls of men. We need a vision for the souls of men. We see here in this text where Paul is told by the Lord in verse 9, "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by vision, 'Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace.'" Now, he's giving him assurance here in this vision. He's telling him, say, "Hey, Paul, listen. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to speak. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace." And friends, I believe that the Lord is basically telling His churches today, be not afraid. Don't be afraid what anyone tells you. Don't be afraid of how they treat you. Hold not your peace. And He gives the reason. It says, for I am with thee. And no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. Friends, wherever the Lord has placed you at today, and I believe this with all my heart, as long as that work is there, as long as that building is open, as long as the Lord hasn't returned, He's got a people for you to minister to there. He's got people there that He's going to save, and that He's going to do a work of grace in their heart, and He's going to add them to the work. But also believe this, that sometimes He'll have us to go to places and give us a vision to be a savor of life unto one and a savor of death unto death for another. Because we have the promise of His Bible. We have the promise of God that His Word will not return unto Him void, but it will accomplish the purpose in which He has sent it forth. But friends, also believe this, that we need to have a vision not only for the souls of men, but this goes along with it. But we need to have compassion for the souls of men. In the book of Psalm 142, verses 1 through 4. And I can remember as I went to HICO, whenever God first started dealing with me about that work up there, I was contacted by Little Sewell Baptist Church and their pastor, Joe Collins. And I've been praying all along. I said, God, if You want me there, first of all, I got to get a phone call. So after a period of time, about a month, I got thinking, well, you know what? The Lord don't want me there. And just as soon as that happened, they called me. And I started praying at that time. I said, Lord, if You want me there, I'm kind of dumb, and it's hard for me to figure things out sometimes. So I pray that You would do two things. I pray, first of all, that You would give me a burden for the area. And secondly, I'd pray that You would give me favor with the people. And friends, as I started praying about that, as I started going to His Word, I come upon this Scripture here. And Psalm 142, verses 1 through 4. As I read that, it broke my heart and I started weeping because I knew that God had it for me to go there. The Bible says, starting in verse 1, I cried unto the Lord with my voice unto the Lord, that I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then Thou knewest my path and the way wherein I walked had they privily laid a snare for me. Verse 4, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Friends, as I read verse 4, my heart started breaking and I started weeping. And I said, God, don't let it ever be said of me or any other of the Lord's churches that we don't care for the souls of men. Friends, David was heartbroken here. He was down and despondent. And friends, I want you to understand that there are people out there today who are lost and undone, who are crying out for help.
Amen, brother.
But they look around and say, refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. As they look at New Testament churches around and they see people who are saved by the grace of God and they come into church with their suits on, with their ties on and looking all nice, they come into the churches and they see them or look at them and say, my goodness, why don't they come to me? Why don't they care for me? And friends, I've heard people say that. Said people don't care. And friends, don't let it ever be said of us that we don't care or that we do not have compassion. But friends, we see another example of compassion in the book of Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Let me know when my time's up, Brother Titus. I can't tell time. I think I know what time I'm supposed to quit. Brother Lawrence is supposed to stick his hand up with 5 minutes to go. Okay. Luke chapter 19 and verse 41. Luke 19:41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least to this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, neither thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Now I want us to look at verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. Now I want you to notice here in verse 41. Let's understand who this was. This was Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, who was weeping over Jerusalem. Now friends, if the very God of the universe can weep and be moved with compassion, how much more should we? Those of us who is lost and undone, who is dead in trespasses and sins, and have felt the touch of God upon our life, shouldn't we be moved with compassion? Shouldn't we cry out to God? Shouldn't we weep over the souls of men, women, boys and girls? Shouldn't we weep over our family members and our friends? The reason we don't is because we don't have a vision. Then, of course, in Psalm 126, Psalm 126, verse 4. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. How many of you here have ever been broken over a lost family member? Or you've been on your face before God, weeping and crying out for them, praying that God would grant repentance and faith, that it show mercy unto them. And then whenever God would grant them repentance and faith, and He'd do that work in their heart, what would that cause you to do? That caused you to be joyful. It caused you to rejoice and bring honor and glory to God, glorifying Him for what He did. Friends, I want you to understand that this is what it's talking about here. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Those who cry out and say, God, give repentance to this person. And that time comes when God does it. Friends, it causes you to be joyful. That's not teaching that your tears save them. We know that. But friends, you'll be joyful because you were sorrowful over them. You was sad. You was heartbroken, and then God did the work in their heart. But friends, there's another reason we need to have this vision, and that's love. Love. Love for the Savior. In the book of John, chapter 14, we'll hurry along with this. John chapter 14 and verse 15. The Bible says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. If you love him, if you love the Master, If you love Jesus Christ, then guess what? You're going to keep His commandments. You know, it's one thing to give lip service to love. You know, I don't know anything about this, but I'll use the example anyway. Those of you husbands that are here that are married. Well, of course you're going to be married to your husband. That's kind of dumb. Anyway, your wife likes to not only hear you say that you love her, but they like to see you prove it, don't they? If you give lip service or say, "Hey, I love you, honey," and then slap them around, then that really isn't love, is it? You're not proving it. And friends, it's the same way with our Savior. Many people stand and say, "Oh," they'll get up and sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." Then live like the devil through the rest of the week. They'll say they love the Savior, and they say that they love the souls of men. But they never one time tell anyone of the grace of God. Friends, if you love the Lord, keep His commandments. And He commanded us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. Friends, also want you to consider this. We need to have a love for the truth. A love for the truth of God's Word ought to drive us all on for the glory of God to work and to better our churches through evangelism. The right kind of evangelism. True evangelism. Evangelism that is God-centered and not man-centered. Amen. An evangelism where it exalts God above exalting man. And then finally, a love for the Lord's churches. The book of Acts, chapter 2, and verse 41. Acts, chapter 2, and verse 41. The Bible says in Acts, chapter 2, and verse 41, "Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Friends, people are added to the Lord's church. Number one, through hearing the preaching of the Word of God, God doing a work in their heart, and then them being baptized and added. Friends, if we love the Lord's church as we ought to, then we'll have a vision for the souls of men. We'll have a vision to see people saved and added to this glorious church that Christ started. Because that is where God receives His honor and glory through. Do we not want to see God honored and glorified? Do you think that it's honoring and glorifying to God for a church never to witness? Never to evangelize and see people saved. Now, people, I tell you what, I told myself, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to say it anyway, just because anymore you got to say it. I believe the doctrines of grace as strong as anyone. I believe that God does a work and that God is the one who does the saving. But I also believe in a personal responsibility. Amen. And I believe that we need to tell people about Christ.
Amen, brother.
And I'll tell you this. God's going to save them. But I'd sure like to be the one that tells them the gospel. I'd sure love to be the one who'd tell them of Christ.
Amen.
And see them saved.
Amen, brother.
See, friends, if we have the right kind of love for the church, then we're going to preach the gospel. You know, families that quit producing children eventually die off the scene. You know, me and my brother are the last two McGahans out of our section of the family. He had two boys, and my dad was pretty happy about that. He said, "I'm never going to be able to have children to carry on the name." But he said, "But this is the thing. If families quit producing, then families die off the scene." If churches quit producing, then guess what's going to happen to them? They're going to die off the scene as well. That gets us back to where we started. Where there is no vision, the people perish.
Amen, brother.
Friends, get a vision for the souls of men. These are just a few thoughts that I had. And I pray that God will use it for His honor and glory. Lord bless.